Oh yeah, hi. Welcome to the I Heart Huckabees commentary track with Jeff Ignatius and Pamela Kennerly Ignatius.
Not really.
And Mike Schultz. Hi. And Ginger, and our pupper Ginger, who's going to watch with us here. And I'm certainly more sober this time. Anyone else in the room more sober than last time?
Okay. Absolutely.
Cool. All right. So we're going to hit play here momentarily.
You need to count us down.
All right then. 3, 2, 1, and hit play. Perfect. Well, we did it right. I don't know about the rest of y'all. Okay, now this I've only seen once. I saw it once in the movie theater when it first came out and was not ambivalent about it, but didn't know whether I loved it or was just annoyed. So I'm really excited to see it again. What do you guys think? You bought it, so you...
I was really enchanted by it. And the first, I think, recommendation we had on this was somebody telling us that this was an evil movie, not just bad or that this person didn't like it, that it was repellent.
Now, that's interesting.
So we had to come get it.
Which is really bizarre because I think it's... it was unrepentant filth, was the phrase? Was that it?
Something like that.
Filth? Okay. That's interesting.
This is Jason Schwartzman, who is getting much less cute in his post-Rushmore days.
I'm not sure he was ever cute.
I don't know. He's looking like Tom Cruise right there, actually, from a distance, not now.
I think he's looking like David Foster Wallace. I know it's small, but at least it's
something. None of the Cage's Coppolas are very cute, though. They're all kind of oddly made.
You know, if they would show a little restraint in terms of their reproducing, maybe there wouldn't be so many of them.
I don't quite get what Schwartzman is up to yet in movies. I can't figure him out. He's got a style. I just don't know what the hell it is. The same way I felt about Nicolas Cage for about the first 8-9 years, you know, where it was like, what are you doing exactly? He might be brilliant, but I'm not convinced yet.
I think the character actually is modeled after David Foster Wallace. The resemblance, the hair and the beard is simply too striking.
David Foster Wallace, who now lives in California.
Yes. I don't think David Foster Wallace has ever... You might not be familiar with him. He's a writer and essayist. He wrote the 10,000-page Infinite Jest book that was all the rage about 11 or 12 years ago.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe not.
It makes an excellent doorstop.
Okay.
He used to be at Illinois State University, but he apparently has foregone that appointment for something grander.
And we all know that this is a score by whom?
John Prine.
Yes.
Isabel Huppert.
Yeah. I always called her Humpert.
Yeah. Even though like Lolita, right? Yes. Humpert? Okay.
Even though there's no M in her last name.
Right.
Speaking of Lily, I really like the trailer for Prairie Home Companion.
I do, too. Okay. I'm already in love with it. I can tell. It's going to be fantastic.
I said I wasn't going to talk much, but I have to say that after everybody...
Tippi Hedren is in this?
Mm-hmm.
Before she died.
I hope no birds attack her.
Yes, that would suck.
Everyone in my chorus went to see her when she was here. And it dawned on me at some point to look her up. So on Wikipedia, I looked her up. And I'll be damned if I'm the only person in the world who didn't know she came out in 2000.
Hmm. Second to last.
Okay, yes.
She did?
Are we
sure about that?
Wikipedia, look it up.
Hmm. I don't know. She's been so adamant about purposely not coming out that I didn't know that I thought that would have been a bigger news thing had she done.
Okay. That's kind of how I felt. I thought, how did I miss that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, God bless. No, I mean, she's an icon for good reason.
How did you feel about David O. Russell's first movie?
Spanking the Monkey. I'm not.
Thank you.
It's fine.
Actually, I was thinking of the second movie.
Oh, Three Kings?
Yes, Three Kings.
Three Kings I enjoyed enormously. I thought that was really fun. Spanking the Monkey I thought was interesting. A little bit...
So look at those eyebrows. Is that not Magnolia? Is that not Tom Cruise and Magnolia right there?
Yes. The eyebrows are incredible.
Who's of the two of them? I was just staring at Lily's, to be honest. I was like, oh, Lily did a nice job on hers, actually.
She looks great.
She does look great. God love her. She was funny in the Oscars this year. See, and that's part of Rise and Life and Home Companion. I'm pretty excited. It's like, nope, she and Meryl are going to be funny together. It works.
But the trailer was awesome.
Oh, it was beautiful. I'm like, best picture. Oh, there it is. Altman finally gets.
You know, when police find the slightest bit of DNA... And
look at those book titles. Galaxies, Dreams, Love...
Death.
Death.
Confluence or conflict. ...situation and resolve your crisis.
In addition, my associate... Pamela, why do you think Skippy thought this movie was unrepentant filth or repellent filth or whatever it was? Filth was in the name.
I have no earthly idea.
I don't understand.
He likes the red violin.
I think...
He likes the red violin and Gladiator are the apex of American cinema.
I think it's important that he... I think it's important that he thinks the movie is filthy because I think it makes people very uncomfortable.
I don't know.
I think the reason he reacted so strongly to this is because it's such a bizarre movie.
But how does that make it filth?
People react strongly to things they don't understand and things that make them uncomfortable,
He's not a dumb guy, though.
I think Mike's reaction was that he didn't know how he felt about it. My first reaction to it was that I didn't... It was that kind of like the Letterman gag. It's like, is this something? Yes, this is something.
I just don't... But filth doesn't make sense. I mean, he fucks Isabelle Huppert in the outside at some point, I remember.
And that's pretty much the only thing.
But that's it, unless I'm
except for the fuckity-fuck-fuck at the beginning.
Yeah.
Cocksucker.
Which makes it no worse than Four Weddings and a Funeral. So.
Which is what it's reminiscent of for me in the beginning.
Yeah. What's her name? Kelly Colder. So, okay,
so that's two. One time it shot in just photo archive. I don't have any idea what...
Third time I saw this man...
Except for the fact that Schwartzman is just kind of filthy in general. I mean, he looks like he doesn't bathe a lot. You know, it's like it's a personal choice, and he's okay with it. That's an excellent pratfall.
If there's any chewing you hear, that is Bad Dog Ginger.
Oh, okay.
Bad Coincidences is the name of that book.
She can chew. That's
as long as it doesn't start on my thumb, you're okay.
Yeah, about my life and about the whole thing, about the universe. You know?
Both of you are baffled by the whole filth thing because I think it's really interesting, and I think it's, it's essential to understanding if the movie works for you, why it works, and if it doesn't, why it doesn't.
I don't think it's that simple. I mean, I don't think that filth. I think that he responds to the clientele at his theater are a lot of little old ladies who get upset when there's. Swearing. And so I understand...
Do you think it's that simple?
I don't, and that's why I can't figure out, because he's willing to defend movies that, well, yeah, they might have a little swearing and they might have a little nudity, but it's a good story. He defends those movies all the time, and that's why I can't for the life of me figure
but
out...
I think, but my point is that I think it's important because it's not the swearing at the beginning and it's not the sex scene.
No.
What I think it is it's a broad... slapstick existential comedy, and those things should not be together. I mean, a slapstick existential comedy, the whole idea of it is kind of ludicrous.
Yeah, but filth is really specific. Filth is like porn.
That's how I feel about it, right?
Right. It's the wrong word. If he says it's filthy, I think he might be using the wrong word.
But people call lots of things filth that aren't porn. I mean, like
what?
I mean, House of Seven Gables. What's the war horse that I've never read? The one you read when you're a teenager and think is profound.
Anne of Green Gables?
No.
I don't know.
You know, everybody has to
read Catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye. Yes.
Oh.
That's filth for some people.
Well, but even that has.
I can almost see that more than this
in a way.
You know,
I've never read it, so I would know.
Oh Lord!
Well, it's
really?
Too late. It's too late now.
Yeah, don't read it now. No.
I don't read anymore.
To your kids to read.
No, I read.
I did finish a book today. For the first book I finished, and it was about the Red Sox.
Really, hey, that's okay. No, it doesn't take away from your victory.
No, I'm just saying it's too late to read Catcher in the Rye because I read it late in life again, and no.
No, it needs to be read when you're an adolescent
when you're
15. Boy. Really,
or
to be honest.
Or a 15-year-old girl, yeah. Honestly. I think 15 as a girl is maybe a little late.
I am in love with Dustin Hoffman's career resurrection as a comic. I think it's inspired. He's the best thing in that freaking Meet the Parents sequel. Jeez, he's funny.
Do you think that that's taking it to an extreme that gets kind of sad again?
Well,
no.
I haven't seen it.
How high could that bar be?
It's
being the best thing in that.
No, not at all. He's transcendently funny.
Well,
he's so good in it, you know? She's pretty good, too, in that movie. She doesn't have as much to do, but... It's watching actors reinvent themselves is really fun, you know? I mean, and Hoffman has just kind of done it spectacularly in the last few years where he's like, I just don't give a shit anymore. I'm just going to go out there and be goofy and funny because I think he got pigeonholed as not goofy and funny. And, you know, there's you watch like Tootsie. It's like, well, he's having such fun in that.
You wish somebody like Robert De Niro would have the license, speaking of Meet the Parents.
Yeah, right.
You would think that he has an ability to reinvent himself that Robert De Niro has lost, and that I think it's nice to see that he is able to do such nimble and silly comedy.
Yeah, well, it's like you were talking about people being scared of Robert De Niro. No one's ever been scared of Dustin Hoffman ever in your darkest day. You know, it's
not even after Dick Tracy.
Never, never. Yeah, maybe that one. And so he's just lovable and rumpled now, and he's really fun.
I'm gonna drop the whole Phil thing, but I think it's. I think this movie is serious enough that I think it's an important question to look at. That I think for people to have such a strong reaction, I think is not unreasonable given what the movie is actually. I'm not quite sure.
I agree.
If it dawns on me, I will certainly enlighten you. But at this point, I am baffled by.
I'm not baffled. I think the movie is very discomforting.
But that's very different from it being filthy.
No, but I think that's a very visceral reaction something has to it that seems incongruous given the actual content of the movie. But I think it speaks to the depth of the movie. You don't react to something so strongly if you can dismiss it easily, I think. To call it filth is to think that it's dangerous.
Doesn't Naomi Watts have a conversation with her husband about their sex life? And
you know, I don't remember. I don't know that.
Don't know
if they have a conversation about their sex life.
And it's pretty funny, actually, as I recall.
Jude Law. Remember when he was in movies?
Yeah, I remember when he was
like
in every movie.
Movies at once.
I really like him. I think
and Chris Rock mocked him for it. And then who was it, though? It was Sean Penn who defended his right to be in everything.
Yes, well, they were filming a movie together, so that makes, you know, he's got his friends back. That's what actors do. I'm all good with that. Yeah. Oh, see now, Jessica Lange. And how ironic, she also played Fay Wray at One Point.
Ah, yes.
See, now it's Tarnation. Or Tarnation is this, I guess, is probably more appropriate.
Tarnation would be fun to do this way. I'd like to do that, actually.
Oh, yeah. Any excuse to watch it.
All your listeners are now going, what?
Fuck is Tarnation.
Tarnation. That's the next one you'll listen to.
There's a movie made for $200 based with home footage, pictures, and lots of text narration.
And it's only the beginning.
Far. That's all there is.
Yep. If you get a chance, Rent Shop Girl.
It's on our Netflix list, actually.
Okay. It's one of the few things I actually like Schwartzman in. Yeah.
You don't like Rushmore.
I love Rushmore. No, I think Rushmore's fantastic, and I think he's great in it. I think he's amazing in that movie.
Pamela's a Tenenbaums person. I'm a Rushmore person. Mm. Not that I don't like Tenenbaums very much.
I'm more Tenenbaums myself.
I like Life Aquatic too, but I'm totally Tenenbaums.
Life Aquatic sucked.
I know you think that, but you're wrong.
No, I know that. Given my Noah Baumbach scripted things, I would much rather take The Squid and the Whale.
As would I, but...
I might have to buy that one.
I thought The Life Aquatic was sweet. Thought it was a long way to go to get there, but it was sweet.
Ginger.
If you lick Mike's wrist anymore, he's probably going to do vile things to you.
I'm just going to be bone. That's all right. You're not hurt nothing.
The subtitle there said no audible dialogue or sound effects.
Great.
Just music.
Oh, and in The Weatherman, Nicolas Cage gets food thrown on him all the time. See, it's a...
Should we see it, though?
Yeah, I loved it.
A lot of people have interesting things to say about it. This is Gore Verbinski, right?
Mm-hmm.
Between Pirates of the Caribbean sequel?
Yeah, I was a fan. I did not expect to like it at all. I thought it was great.
Hey, what's going on? Where is everybody?
I moved the meeting.
He what? The Huckabee Sport?
All right, listen. Okay.
All people are going to hear on this track is the dog licking.
Licking and licking and licking.
Like you mentioned that you weren't ambivalent about it, but you weren't quite sure what to think.
The fact that I didn't know what to think of it made me know that I liked it, if that makes sense. I you know, when you see three pieces of Hollywood shit per week, you know, actually anything that's different makes you pretty happy.
That's faint praise.
Yeah, it is. It's meant to be. I think the movie thinks it's deeper than it is. I think it's basically just an existential slapstick comedy. I don't think it has a lot of depth. I think it's like, wouldn't it be funny if we had existential detectives? I think it kind of begins and ends there as a viewer. I believe Russell when he does interviews about how he had all these ideas and thoughts they wanted to express, and I think he did it, but I don't really care about his thoughts or opinions that much. I just like the fact that Lily Tomlin and Dustin Hoffman are funny together.
It's probably been about a year and a half since we've seen it, and and I'm not sure I can justify its depth, but I my recollection that I thought that there was a lot there the first time I saw it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's overflowing with stuff there. Whether or not it all adds up or ties together.
Tarnation is a good comparison in the sense of, does it have to be coherent or cogent?
Well, yeah, I would argue that Tarnation is.
Okay.
Emotionally coherent is how I think that movie is. And this one, I don't ever feel anything for anyone in it. I don't think we're necessarily supposed to. So,
yeah,
mission accomplished.
Slapstick comedy, it's hard to feel.
First, we're not meant to feel anything for people. I mean, it's why Frasier lasted forever. You know, it's just funny people doing funny things, and that's fine. I think nothing wrong with that.
And there was a funny dog.
Yeah, there was a funny dog.
But
it's
isn't it better than? And I'm going to get in trouble for this, but isn't it better than...
Frasier?
No.
It's not better than Frasier?
Nothing's better than Frasier. No.
No.
Pamela reveals herself.
Not at all. I'm a Sports Nights, West Wing, Northern Exposure girl. No. What I was going to say was, isn't it better than Waking Life, everybody sitting around and having stoned or drunk college conversations about philosophy?
I don't like Waking Life, yeah.
Doesn't it address, and I kind of do, actually.
I do like Waking Life, but I think that's another good comparison to this movie.
But isn't it more fun to look at it this way than, whoa, what if the whole universe is...
Absolutely, gone? Absolutely it is.
Except I think the easy thing for this would be cynical. I think it's genuinely curious. I think a lot of farces and a lot of slapstick comedies are just mocking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that David O. Russell is mocking these people. I think he probably actually genuinely likes these characters and is interested in what they think and how they live and their belief systems.
Yeah.
Which is a lot easier than, for instance, Thank You for Smoking, which is very cynical. And that's, Pamela will say that I actually argued just the opposite thing when we saw it.
Indeed.
I don't think it's cynical at all, to be honest.
But it mocks everybody, and I don't feel that the tone of mockery is here. I think Thank You for Smoking fundamentally has hope in it, but I think it's derisive about every character in it.
I'd argue about that. I don't think it is about Aaron Eckhart's character at all.
No, I think Nick Naylor is actually a hero in that movie.
Yeah. The supporting characters, yeah, except for the son, of course, gets let off in a pass.
And becomes debate champion.
Yeah.
But I think there's a fine line you have to... Something like this movie... Kind of the default would be to make fun of these ridiculous characters and their silly belief systems, and I don't think it does.
I agree. I think it's hard is in the right place. I just think if it's going for this for existential farce, then it needs to be funnier. Is at the end of the day, it's amusing without. It's amusing and smart without being inspired, is how I remember thinking of it. I was going, okay, nice stab. Good. Thank you. I'm glad I saw it.
Inspired is a word that it almost achieves by default, almost by its conceit alone.
But I think there's a difference between an inspiration and being kind of comedically inventive in surprising ways. For instance, I think the idea behind Jude Law and Naomi Watts in this movie is better than the execution. I kind of like what Russell's going for. I like it kind of being a satire of this kind of IKEA universe of, you know. But it's not that funny. At the end of the day, it's just not that funny.
At the end when they're batting each other in the head with rocks, that is the funniest damn thing.
Well, there's funny stuff. I don't know. I've seen it once. I'm not going to make any judgments on the flick.
The firefighter with the mustache, it's fairly obvious that David O. Russell finally ran out of money and could not get John C. Reilly.
You mean after Mark Wahlberg and Lily Tomlin
Dustin Hoffman and Jude Law?
They must have all worked cheap, I would imagine. They must have, right?
I have the strange feeling my mother would think this movie was weird, but she would say she liked it. I think it's gentle enough that... And that's why the whole filth comment was again... I really think this is so loving that it's bizarre. And of course, why is it that British actors can do American accents without trouble and American accents can't do British accents for shit?
I know, it's sad. Because we're Americans and our thing is fine, you know. Yeah, she's good.
She's American?
There's a lot of people that are good, but...
I think I'm going to name our child Lemon.
Well, basically, to do an American accent, you just got to remove all trace of personality from your voice, and then you got it. And so I think it's probably easier.
Depends what region you're in.
Sure. Australians are great at it. You know, I don't even remember that Mel Gibson is from there. You know, Russell Crowe too is another one. It's like, really? Heath Ledger's gonna be there soon. Yeah. What? Really, you got to be getting bored of this at some point, dog.
Ginger.
Okay.
Jan. Hey. Come up here. Good girl. No, those are definitely not for you.
This commentary is rated R because there's dog nudity.
There's a ton of dog nudity.
She's missing her collar.
Naked as the day she was born.
Shania has no song for you.
Is that Pete?
Yes.
Naomi. She's the most amazingly interesting actress. She's either brilliant or she sucks ass. You know, it's you can never tell.
Does she suck ass?
Oh Lord! Well, the Ring movies. She's terrible.
Is that her fault though?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's pitching herself too high. I think she's acting more afraid than the situations warrant. You know, I don't know if that's her fault or the director's. You know, it's always a gray area, but when she's allowed to have to be insane, she's brilliant in movies, and when she's just playing kind of generic, you know, girlfriend, she's so uninteresting.
The I'm almost naked poster.
Well, it's Naomi. We would expect nothing less. God love her.
Naked dog flapping.
See, now that's filthy. I mean, if you want to go on the language tangent, but that's all I could see. Maybe they insinuate there's no God and that's filth for somebody. I don't know.
It was Albert's vision. This whole thing was Albert's vision. Well, Albert let him in, which was a mistake.
He dropped Albert's books from the bed
and the mail.
Someone tell me about the woods and the marsh.
Mary Jane, this is your story. Why don't you do it?
All right. Well, my great-grandfather owned
There's Tippy.
The woods and the marsh. We deeded them over
she
to
did die, right?
I don't know.
No, it was Barbara Bel Geddes.
Oh, Barbara Bel Geddes died. You're right.
Speaking of Hitchcock supporting women.
Yes.
Okay. Mike, Barbara Bel Geddes from?
I don't know. Hitchcock? I don't.
Vertigo.
Right, she's the nice one.
Yes, she's the nice
one. I always forget. I just think Kim Novak. That's all I think.
She's the one who doesn't go out to crush Jimmy Stewart's soul.
Yeah, that movie always breaks my heart just because it's like, but Barbara Bel Geddes is so nice. Why don't you just go with her?
She almost she disappears from the second half of the movie. She's so integral at the beginning, and then she just goes poof.
Yeah.
Makes you feel any better? I'm glad he didn't ask me.
You wouldn't have known?
Oh.
Yeah. See, an image is always better. You've got to reach people quick. They don't understand poems. They don't want to hear poems. They have no time for them. Too much.
Open spaces, teas for everyone. Mary Jane, extra small for your grandson, didn't I?
Oh, you shouldn't.
Open spaces, teas, and here is
the... Why would you cast Tippi Hedren in this? I'm just curious.
Why not?
Just because you can.
No. Yes.
She's not even a name anymore. I mean, except for.
But that's the movie point. The point is,
cinephiles like we are.
It's almost like an in joke.
Yeah.
Except everybody goes, who is that? Because she looks familiar to you. You know her,
right.
But you can't go, oh, Tippi Hedren, immediately.
Yeah, I mean, and that's sad for her, that she is kind of considered an in-joke. You know, I mean, who was, Janet Leigh was an in-joke forever, too. I think Hitchcock turned women into in-jokes, you know.
Bastard.
Remember what I did to her in this one? You know, it's kind of horrible.
What do you think of Marnie?
I've never seen
it. I'm one of the few people who likes Marnie.
No, I'm criminally behind on Hitchcock.
Probably seen, you know he's dead?
Probably seen about 12. Well, lots of people, but...
So what's up with the blackboard?
They're showing all the connections between everything. Among everything. Between and among.
See, now that painting I love. If it's indeed a painting, if it's not...
Who's that? The African guy. That's the African guy from my coincidence. This is what I'm
And I have Dustin Hoffman's tie, I just realized.
Do you?
See, this is what this movie does to me. It makes me just kind of zone out on what they're talking about and look at the pretty pictures. I love the back of his jacket. There's so many good jokes.
You were planning photos of yourself in the archive. What are you getting at?
Why would you do something like that? To be noticed? Maybe urgently?
Maybe, yeah.
Uh-huh. How did that affect things with Grant, the coalition?
How did it affect things with the coalition? Gee, I don't know, you know.
What's with the cleavage on that?
It was a drag. It really was a drag, because I wanted my poems to go out with the fundraiser mailing. Grant didn't. He was all obsessed with Shania, Sampras.
See, I zone in on the...
What are we supposed to be focusing on?
Watermelon, you're looking at cleavage.
Kind of photos of yourself and your poems.
The worst thing is it's Dustin's. Or Old Lady Lily. See, that's funny.
Hilarious.
See, that's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
I was talking about the chalk on his jacket.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure for the benefit of
No, no, we know. We're good.
That's only because Lang comes before Markowski. I was putting my headshots under Markowski, and then Elle's right before it. I might have looked at a little bit of Lang on the way out. But says that, what's the big deal?
That's very much a Seinfeld thing.
Is it a crime?
I'll have to take your word for it.
Have you ever been in love?
What kind of
it's not that he's defending himself about... He's not saying he didn't put his photos in. He's explaining
that he was looking
very passionately how he was looking at Jessica Lange photos. And
while he was putting his own in.
Yes.
That is a great painting. It looks like something we'd buy.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it would cost more than we could afford.
Probably. But it does look like something we'd buy.
Especially after your $1 million dog...
It's only $100,000
gold. Ginger, why are you so beanie?
I'm in your corner. I'm assuming that's supposed to look like a body bag.
Melt your usual identity like you did before.
Stop looking at me.
I said stop looking at me.
Dawn is going to love doing spots for the open spaces.
Who's Dawn?
He's Huckabee.
Do people still do, like, sensory deprivation chambers? I mean, which was kind of, like, big and SD kind of early 80s, you know, relaxation technique way.
I don't know.
That's kind of the... That's kind of the low-tech sensory deprivation chamber.
Yeah, very low-tech. Yeah, absolutely. Body bag will work for you.
Is it a body bag or is it a suit bag?
No, I think it's a body. It's too long to be a suit bag.
Picture a tree in a field. Good. Now put someone you respect in the tree.
Hey! Still breath dead.
Add someone else.
Like who?
You know, someone who can understand things. Someone who can help you.
Who's your guy?
Well, I use McGreet.
I always think of McGreet when I see the hat, of course.
I got someone.
Who is it?
Mrs. Shermer. She's my high school English teacher.
All right,
good. Pushed her out of the tree.
Mrs. Shermer has a vacuum cleaner, Albert, that sucks up beer. Now she's going to send you ready to security and complete acceptance.
I love the artificiality of these sequences and the Monty Python.
Yeah, it's very Python-esque. I was just going to say, nice.
But I think very true to our the way we operate in these kind of fantasies. They're very crude.
Mm-hmm.
Something helpful like Mrs. Sharmer and our vacuum cleaner. Two, there is no such thing as you and me.
So then there's
are those his genuine eyebrows, or do you think that's something that the makeup department did?
I think they got to be his.
I think they got to be fake. They can't be real.
I don't know. Doesn't he always have them, though? I mean, unless he's carrying them around in a prop suitcase movie to movie. I think he always looks like that. It's another Australian actor who does a perfect American accent. Yeah. You know, she's another one I keep forgetting. Oh, right. Yeah, she doesn't talk like that in real life.
Squash under the CD department.
Hey, Albert, how's it going?
What are you doing here, Brad? I met Brad when I was investigating you. He called with his own existential conundrum. That's all.
I'm really, really glad I found out about these people. That's bullshit because he doesn't care about things like this. Where's the African guy?
Do you think Jude overexposed himself? And that's where he's... That's why he's...
You know what?
I think he fucked his nanny. That's what I...
he apologized.
I don't think Sadie was any angel in that either, though. I think they were both... My understanding is that they were both kind of...
Well, she got him good on that, though. Yeah, good for her. I don't think you can blame an actor for overexposure. An actor's just trying to work. And it's not his fault that 4 movies got released in 3 months because he has no control over release schedules, and that works in a whole different plane of existence, you know? That's an actor's job, is to keep getting jobs until you choose, of course, to retire and you want
to
break.
To a certain degree, you have to... Your job is to ensure long-term viability, and part of that is spacing out your roles and trying not to get too involved too quickly, because I think he hurt his long-term career by capitalizing on being hot.
Sure, that's only if you're assuming that he cares about long-term superstardom as opposed to caring about working.
But I think he cares about... I mean, it's to his benefit to make 10 pictures at $5 million a picture rather than 3 pictures at $8 million a picture. I mean, and it seems like the amount of his work has suffered from that whole impression that he was in everything for a while.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't even venture a guess. I would guess that he's probably not been unemployed ever since probably 99, 98. I bet he's, you know, probably just stayed working. And
was Gattaca before Existenz?
No. Gattaca's 97.
And Existenz is 99.
It is?
Yes. That was where I first saw him, and I saw Gattaca after
Existence. Yeah. I couldn't even venture a guess about what has to go through once you reach, you know, the echelon of getting millions for movies, what goes through your head as far as career choices. I can't even imagine. I don't know what his mortgages are, you know. I don't know how much money he needs to keep his lifestyle the way it is. And I,
a lot if he wants to,
you know. And I don't know. I think a lot. I think European actors in general just don't have a Hollywood European mentality as far as necessarily caring. You know.
I was thinking he was in the Australian group.
I love Wahlberg in this. Me too. He's brilliant.
This is awesome.
Yeah. He's just so great. He's so deadpan.
Treat for our clients, a kind of spiritual pedophore, something that would be useful for you to be accustomed to. And
you have received your answer. Senorita, the Petroleum situation was not created by...
I think many people think that Dirk Diggler was the pinnacle of his career. I think you're absolutely right about him in this. He is...
He's just sweet.
He's genuine, and yet he underplays it, but he's genuine, and it's...
And he's crazy, and he's, you know, which is great. It's almost every actor, I think, is better in comedy than in drama. almost
and
yet,
of course,
actor
there's
for
the
actor,
whole,
you know?
Comedy is hard thing.
Yeah, it's... good actors tend to relax in comedy, you know? And he's so relaxed in this, you know. I think he just is having a ball, and it reads. It reads really well.
Since you're a performance person, how do you feel about David O. Russell and actors?
I think he loves actors. I think he adores actors. At least based on this and Three Kings. Three Kings, I think, is the first great thing Clooney did.
I was actually, before you even said that, I was going to say, I think that was the first thing where I... thought of Clooney as something other than that guy from ER.
Okay.
That hot guy from ER.
I never watched ER, but...
Oh, wait, that was me then, huh?
Stuff in the fridge, yeah?
Yes. Cool. And we have bottle openers.
Who else? Is it Rockwell that's in Three Kings? Something Sam Rockwell?
Tim Blake Nelson, I believe. No, Spike Jones.
Yeah, Spike Jones. All right, okay.
Three Kings is Spike Jones, George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, and Ice Cube.
Okay.
Along with Nora Dunn and Jamie Kennedy and Micheletti Williamson and Cliff Curtis and
Michael T.
Saeed Tagmaui.
It would be Michael T. Williamson.
Well, that's strange, spelled very strangely for Michael T. Williamson.
But it is Michael T. Williamson.
Okay, I believe you.
What did I just see? It's probably a key letter.
Probably.
Oh, no, ATL.
Who is ATL? I can't remember.
It was good.
Did you review it? And I just have forgotten.
I did review it. I liked it enormously.
What movie?
ATL.
Ah.
It's all
random. Yeah, it's one that got better and better the more I thought about it.
It's really good.
Alternatively, you could...
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Wahlberg rocks in this. He's good.
It's interesting to me that we're having difficulty finding much to talk about within the movie itself.
I'm trying to follow it, is the thing. You know, I think that's part of
it. It's a good thing we didn't make you watch Primer.
Yeah. For which I'm grateful. Because I really don't remember a lot of... I remember the... tangents in this movie, but I think that's probably because it's almost all tangents. I remember there's one amazingly funny scene at a dinner scene where that's all I remember. When it comes, I'll remember it, but there's a scene where the family's gathered around the dinner table, and it's hysterical.
And it made me think of that scene in Junebug.
Which scene in Junebug?
Not Junebug.
It might be Junebug, but I just...
What's the scene, where they have just all... No, it's not Junebug. They have... All the...
Isn't it sports questions?
The... no, why is it? We've seen it recently. All the kids from... All the foster kids.
Yeah. I feel the same thing.
We're talking about...
Palindromes?
How are you?
Yes.
Okay. Pull that out of my ass.
Did.
Seriously.
All the foster kids, and they're like,
yeah.
And it was a very Christian household. Yeah. I didn't even get that far.
I think the only person who would have come up with that quickly was you, Mike. Wouldn't have come up with that.
No, that shouldn't have happened. But
see, if I ever quit him.
Yeah, I'm on the list.
I know.
I'm on the dance card.
I'm telling you.
Man, it's a long dance card, yeah. I'm telling you.
I'm patient.
Mike's pretty high up on the list.
I'm patient.
You're seeing that? That's great. That's a beautiful piece. Of, but that wasn't that watermelon.
It wasn't the same one. No. That was some sort of melon.
It was a different melon.
I love melons. Oh, wait, that's...
that's different, too.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I've always wanted that hair, though.
Why?
Because I've never had that hair. It's, you know, you always want a different kind of hair. I think that's why. It'd be annoying after a while, probably, but... That's funny. A big gasp is almost always funny. A big group gasp, always funny.
Hey, Albert's got to do what he's got to do. Anybody think they know better? Nobody. Sorry,
Brad. Oh, he's great.
He's just wonderful.
Yeah, you just want to hug him. He's just like, oh, okay.
On Schwartzman,
mm-hmm.
I think Max Fisher could grow up to be this guy.
That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're playing off Max Fisher.
From Rushmore.
Yes. Yep.
As long as we're talking for clarity's sake.
I love that Mark Wahlberg is still wearing his...
gigantic fireman boots?
Yes.
Hey. There?
Ginger, I think somebody's taking you home tonight if you keep that up.
Well, maybe you'll even buy you breakfast. It'd be a first, but...
Now, what's the kid behind... What's the kid back in the background doing?
With the mustache?
With the mustache and the little beard thingy. Now, this reminds me of palindromes.
Yes, this is what
this is the scene. Yes, okay. This is the scene I'm talking about, yeah. It's got two famous actors, neither of whom I can remember offhand, but they're both very, really funny.
Of course, I think that was a Minute Bowl reference with the, you know, big, tall African guy with the basketball. Minute Bowl being a Washington Bullets player who was about 7'8" and a terrible player.
And lead us not into temptation.
Yes, this is your palindromes.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Well, they must be freaks. They're holding hands and praying. So there we go. Richard Jenkins. Okay, thank you. Who I adore, and who's and Gene Smart?
Richard Jenkins. Help me.
Every movie on the planet. I couldn't even.
Let's go.
2 seconds of him. Yeah, seriously. And you'll find the 40 titles that you remember him from.
And I think it's Gene Smart as
Gene Smart. Yeah, who is amazing. What a great actress. God.
Did you like palindromes or not?
No, I was...
How could anyone like palindromes?
I don't know. I don't know, Solan's mom, maybe. But I think
she disowned him a long time ago.
Yeah, well, she should have.
After Happiness? You mean
the existential detective? Happiness is the one of his I like, and I love it. Yeah.
That's the one his mom disowned him after.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Is that the first time you mentioned... I think that's the first time I saw Philip Seymour Hoffman, since I didn't see a lot of the... Support
her.
I didn't see. No, I probably.
When a man loves a woman.
No, I have not seen those. But that was probably where I saw Philip Seymour Hoffman first.
Ah, okay. Well, that'll hurt you for years. Yeah, if that's your first exposure. Yeah.
Richard Jenkins was in Eye of God just for a moment.
Okay. A movie with that was Tim Blake Nelson directed that movie and had Kevin Anderson in it and Martha Plimpton. I'm one of the 10 people who've seen it.
I had one of the biggest crushes on Martha Plimpton for years.
You're really a fucking freak.
Look what happened. Right.
I don't think it was very scarring. I mean, seeing Happiness allowed me to understand the adhesive properties of semen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of, Richard Jenkins was also in There's Something About Mary.
That's more in the pliability and holding qualities of semen.
Ah, okay.
That's also bullshit, too. You know, does it feel it dangling from his fucking ear?
Hey, you're not telling me anything I didn't already know. I was one of the few people who... I laughed once, and There's Something About Mary is when he didn't step in the pile of shit. that was in the apartment that they broke into.
Okay. I think
there was
I
a big pile of shit on the floor and nobody stepped in, and I thought that was hilarious. I was the only person who laughed at that. All right. It was the only time I laughed.
I think I maybe laughed twice. I just didn't get it.
I laughed myself stupid the first time, and I have, to this day, no idea why. Mm. I've seen it since and thought it was appalling.
Caught you on the right day. You know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I wasn't even drunk.
Mom? I was in a really foul mood the day I saw it, but I don't think it would have mattered.
Are you hungry?
No.
He's crabby when he's hungry.
You have a job, Tom? I'm a firefighter.
Oh, God bless you. A hero.
I'm not a hero. All he hears are you say you're Christians living by Jesus' principles, but
well, no wonder I thought this was like common drugs.
See, now maybe this is filthy to someone. He's being mean to Jesus.
Definitely is.
All right, that's enough. Stephen, I don't know
I think people might take... If you take things seriously, there's going to be something in here to offend everybody. Because it's making fun of environmentalists, it's making fun of Christians, it's making fun of very tall black men.
Well, if you take things too seriously, you're going to get offended by anything.
Oh, but I think this... I think... You two are puzzled by somebody calling it filth, and I think you have to take it in the spirit in which it's intended, and I think it's... I don't think it's hating anybody. I think it's making fun of people in a good-natured way.
I agree with that. I don't think it's hateful towards anyone.
That beard, and I think that's essential to its success, and I think that beard and that mustache is horrifically fake.
That we support for some stupid reason.
You shut up. You get out.
I won't do my jumping up and down about no genocide in Darfur on my watch. He said that. Bastard.
Look at
him. Oh, I love that scene. I'm sad when that scene's over. I remember thinking that when I saw the movie. I was like, are we please going to come back to those people? No? Oh,
no
shit.
Problem.
Seem
to hit a nerve.
Yeah, I had a cat once. He taught me. You guys are great. You're amazing.
The method worked. I saw it. It seemed to calm you down, right?
What method? Come on with that method. All right, that's a tranquil.
I got your method right here. Just say it, Mark. Come on, you know you want to.
It penetrates a unified infinity of everything.
Well, not in infinity. We're in the suburbs.
Infinity is everywhere. That's what makes it infinity.
Okay, how does this connect? Mr. Nair is an orphan from Sudan who was chased by soldiers and crocodiles. So how does the love flow fit into that, man?
It's connected. Albert and Mr. Nair share a great deal. It's just that oh my God.
What's she doing here?
I think it's good they don't let her speak a lot. Because when she does, I'm annoyed.
Who?
Is it a Luper? No.
On that previous shot, before, when you saw the bikes and you saw Lily Tomlin and Dustin Hoffman chasing the bike, the car was in the shot, but it didn't draw attention to itself, and so it's possible for you to watch it and not even see it until there's the cut to showing the car by itself.
It's very clever. Russell's good. Russell's really good for his little actual, you know, experiences he has. He's, what, 3 movies to them, I guess?
I'm
not missing anything, right?
So.
Huh? Yeah.
Let's
go to the source. Pretty sure I'm correct about that.
It's the one right after the long...
I do love the Hound. The Hound makes me happy. I haven't gotten one since 2002, sadly enough. I know. Every year I mean to. And
I get them every other year.
4 at the time? Yeah, just those 3. Okay.
Get them every other year. That'd be the Video Hound's Golden Movie Retriever for your product placement.
A perfect book. It's got all your info.
This is called an open meadow. An open meadow. An open marsh. And a cloudless sky.
I mean, I love that Russell does not make him the hero by any means. Does not make Schwartzman the, you know, he makes fun of him as much as everybody else, which is great.
Now, we just had him in his dream, there were the hacking off of body parts, and now in reality, there's the hacking off of the cardboard cutout head.
Poor Shania.
People people watch this movie in 50 years and not have any sense of that reference, for instance.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Shania will endure.
I
love that he's holding her by the hair and using her as a point of emphasis.
Yeah. There's Kevin Dunn. Oh, a lot of good people in this movie. That's not the way a
director behaves. Why are you guys wasting all your time fighting each other? Come on! Seriously, put the egos aside for a second, guys, please.
It's so rare to find something where... where the agenda is not so clear cut, where, you know, for instance, Michael Moore, you know where he's going to come down on things. And here there's a making fun of large corporations like Target and also the opponent. It's almost like a plea for something in the middle, for an understanding that, yes, Walmart and Target are horrific, right, and are ridiculous, but so are you if you are, you know, picketing them or...
Yeah, yeah.
That there's...
Landing trees in their parking lots?
Yes.
Yeah, everyone's equally foolish, which
yes,
is nice.
And, which I think is true, because we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an honesty rather than a cynicism to this that I like.
No, I think he's very open-hearted. I think Russell's open-hearted in Three Kings. He certainly shows, you know, incest as being not so horrible in Spanking the Monkey. So he's pretty open-hearted about almost everything. me. But, you know, hey, if you want it, man, I don't judge.
I don't remember another. But there's, to me, I think it's important that you call him open-hearted when it would be very easy to call him cynical, I think, for mm-hmm. something like this. And I think you're seeing that he is, there's a fundamental hopefulness.
Yeah.
And a lightness. And this isn't mean, it isn't, there's no hatred here.
No, it's not mean-spirited at all. It's very, and it's tied up in his love for actors, I would argue.
Of course you would.
Of course I would. I'm an actor theorist, absolutely. The actors are the reason we like movies. End of story. fiction movies.
George Lucas would disagree.
Of course he would, and that's why his movies suck ass. because he doesn't care about people. But directors who like people... generally make the better movies. They really do, you know.
They're the luckiest people.
That's right.
That might have tipped him off too. The whole vibe.
I remember that getting some groans in the theater. Some really kind of offended.
So a guy jerks off and gets spooge on his ear, and
that's hilarious.
And a chick grabs it and uses it as hair gel, and that's funny. But an adult. Infantilized boy is suckling at a mother's breast, and it is disgusting.
But you can't equate those things. I mean, it's all style. The hair goo is, I mean, obviously slapstick, and that's...
So
that's,
it is.
That's, it's not. It's a little bit more realistic. I think it's still funny, but it's... That's pretty realistic, and nobody's fooled by the semen scene. I mean,
nobody's fooled the thing that's Jason Schwartzman sucking milk out of a real woman's breast either.
I'm not sure about that. Those are kind of, I don't know.
They're fantastic breasts, but that's
no, it is more disturbing. Not fantastic breasts. I'll argue that they're not. It is. They're just really big.
It is more disturbing, and I think you're getting there. It is disturbing, but why is it? I don't know the answer.
I'm not sure either. I think it comes down to semen's funny in general, and breast milk isn't necessarily so much. I don't know.
Because we feminists have ruined it for making...
You ruined a lot of things for us. Don't even get me started. Jesus Christ.
You know, Pamela's going to say that she's going to get laid tonight because she removed the beer label without it being damaged.
Oh, is that like the good luck sign?
Yeah. No, it's like...
Well, congratulations, good luck, pumpkin. Man. I'm digging the beer, by the way.
I haven't tasted it yet.
I hope you like it. And if not, I'll drink yours. It's really good.
I like the Northwoods.
Good.
That's my next treat. This one I like. Oh, she's going to start talking now, isn't she?
She wouldn't have one of those ridiculous French accents.
Well... Yeah, she is. She hasn't done a lot of American movies. I can't blame her. But she's done enough American movies that her American should be better by now. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of hers.
That's what gives you the boss. The force.
Speaking of George Lucas. Right. See, now there's something just inherently hilarious about the line, deconstruct your mind into blackness, okay? It's the okay that does it. It's brilliant.
And that's the whole smashing each other's heads with rocks, or smashing their own heads.
You're ruining it.
Right. Oh, please. They have to have seen this before, right?
Where's the spoiler alert?
Oh, crap.
This is tasty.
Yeah,
it is.
It kind of works for me.
Or berry vice.
Berry vice.
Mike, aren't you going to tell people how I ruined everything for you?
Well, you do that all the time, so which did you ruin for me this time?
The Edelweiss.
Oh, that. Yeah, what was that in reference to? Rachel Weisz.
Yes.
Actress Rachel Weisz.
That's right. Around the Oscars.
Yeah.
I figured you heard that joke. Must have heard
I never
it
did. I never thought about it.
You said something like, fuck you, when I
no, that didn't it get it out of my head all day. Yeah.
Are you making fun of your mother?
Oh, and it's him. Bob Gunton, is that his name, I think? He's always the warden in Shawshank to me.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Done a poetry
okay
job.
I think it's Bob Gunton, and he played Sweeney and Sweeney Todd on Broadway.
Really?
Yeah, 92 or something like that, 91. And he knew. And Talia Shire, who looks great, by the way.
She looks
I didn't recognize her, she looked so great. I was
another
can't
fucking
be Talia Shire. Yeah, they're all over the place. Man.
I don't know where the box is.
Four
Huckabees.
Oh, a Huckabee box.
Speaking of Shania.
Cena, Talia Shire's kind of got the eyebrows too, so it makes...
and that Schwartzman is familiar. Her kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. She really looks good. All right. Hey, Talia.
You know, she was in the Godfather movies, and then Sylvester Stallone fucked up her career.
Yeah, yeah.
Adrian!
I want to blame him for almost everything, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
That illustration on the back of that notebook reminds me of Rushmore. The artwork on Rushmore and on the Tenenbaums
mm-hmm
box.
I came home from school. Mom was in the kitchen with a strange lady. Mom told me to go back to my room. I thought I was in trouble. She closed my door and said, Paris got hit by a car and killed. And then she took me back to the lady in the kitchen and told me to spell words to show how I'm a good speller. I said I had to go to the bathroom. I climbed out the window. I went down the block. I saw Barney playing punch bowl. He said I looked sad. I told him
what is it about Schwartzman you don't like or you're not sure about?
It's the same thing with all the Coppolas boys. They're all so determinedly eccentric that I bore of them really quickly.
I think that was a really good bit of acting right there when she was reading the expression on his face. I thought was he didn't overdo it. It was marginally ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it was a good bit of acting. I think
absolutely
there are similar things that he does in Rushmore, even though it's a much more outre movie.
I think
hard to believe there are more outre movies than this. But
I think he's tremendous in Rushmore. I really do. I think Anderson has his number pretty well. I think he knew just what to do with him.
And he had not been in anything at that point, I think.
I think that's his first one, yeah. Unless I'm mistaken. And again, I think it was just ideal casting. It was perfect casting. He was just flaky enough. And every once in a while, I think he's great. I mean, and Shop Girl, I think he's wonderful. And this, I don't mind him by any means.
What have you seen him in that you didn't like?
Well, there's a... God, I can't even remember the name of the fucking horrible teenage comedy where he played, like, the gross... You know, college guy who kind of was just disgusting. Yeah, find it, please. I'll know it as soon as you say it. When he doesn't have his...
Greta Scacchi? No, wait.
That's not it at all. I think he needs a director. I think almost every actor needs a director.
He was in Simone, Slackers, Spun.
Slackers is the one I'm thinking of. What else?
And Rushmore. CQ. Rushmore 98, CQ 01, Spun 02, Slackers
Spun, 02. I didn't like him in either.
And Simone 02. And this is a...
I didn't like him in Simone, yeah.
This is a 2005, which means it's 2 years old. I need a new one next year.
Yay!
We have an new old... Home. We have one to give you if you want. What's newer than the one you have, I think.
Oh, only if you're, like, never going to pick it up.
We don't.
Well, then I will throw away my 2002.
Or do we give it away?
If you gave it away, you gave it away.
No, I think it's right here.
What? Yeah, no, I think he does some very nice things in this. I just, in general, I think he's... I don't like actors who show off how edgy they are and how I'll do anything for an effect. And Nicolas Cage has a lot of that, too. That
sure, certainly, and I think he's not nearly so self-conscious as Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Nick Cage... Well, I'd never realized how much they look like each other. And
I got that puppy look. Like, where is it? It's not even a puppy. It's an older dog look.
Oh, but he's infinitely more acceptable to look at. I won't say he's cute, but...
Schwartzman is?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Cage has that weaselly, rodent-like...
Man, almost every woman I know thinks he's sexy as hell. I don't get it.
I am way off.
I don't get it.
No way.
Yeah.
He's disgusting. That's why you betrayed yourself. Greasy and pointy.
There are things I like Nick Cage in, but it's an exception. The default for me is not liking him, and I think it's the opposite for me with Schwartzman.
Mm. Well, do you think that that's based on the movies that they've been in? I mean, because you're a major Rushmore fan. Do you think that's why you like Schwartzman more than Cage?
Certainly. I mean, certainly your first experience. My first experience with Nick Cage was... I can't even, it was probably Peggy Sue Got Married.
Oh my God, perhaps his worst movie ever. Or at least his worst performance in a movie ever, yeah. Yeah. I always forget how visually fun this movie is.
This could be willfully... I think it could just be willful, and I think it's not elegant. I mean, obviously it's not elegant.
I think it kind of is.
But it fits so well... Yeah. It's such a nice expression of what's being discussed. I think that's a real... this in particular, I mean, you've seen the breaking apart things before, but with the three of them there and the larger blocks and the small blocks, it's really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Are they married to each other?
Yes.
Okay. Because we had the wedding ring rule right there. Both of them were holding up their hands with the wedding rings.
Because you're asking if they're about to have an affair with each other, and she...
No, I'm just saying. I'm just noting that there's the wedding ring rule there, which is whenever you see the prominence of wedding rings, it generally involves infidelity, issues of fidelity and infidelity.
Interesting. All right.
That's true,
if you watch Presumed Innocent, for instance, you're going to see wedding rings at all the appropriate times.
Okay.
To have a movie about existential questions where they're dodging sprinklers,
that's just fundamentally funny. I agree, absolutely.
It's not so much the dodging as the ineffectively dodging.
Well, she effectively jumped over. She jumped over one of them, and then he was.
That's funny.
Have you read Mammoth on directing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I like Mammoth's prose quite a bit. I think he's fun.
Have Dustin Hoffman and Lily Tomlin ever been together in anything before this?
You know, I can't think of what it would have been. I mean, we've got the book right here, but I'm curious enough to look. No, you just got to look under Tomlin, and I'll know if Hoffman was in any of those.
That assumes that you can identify that immediately.
I think it's safe.
You probably
trust me. Yeah, I don't have many skills at all, but this one I do have.
One of the first shots you had of Naomi Watts was of her sticking her ass out in an unflattering way, and she's
unflattering.
And just the
I was going to say, no, her ass is plenty flattering.
Yeah.
What I mean is,
I have an ass like that.
The pose is not flattering to anyone, regardless of what. But she's half naked in this throughout, and it seems, but it doesn't seem quite demeaning in the way that you'd expect it to be, like in a different movie.
Yeah, well, she's, I think it's because of her comfort with it and the fact that she is just, she's just fine with it, you know, and that's why,
I mean,
she's hired.
Yes, the fact that she was bent over in a real weird way at first, and that, which is not a classic erotic pose, kind of.
But she was shilling for Huckabees at that point.
She's a ditz blonde in this. That's her role. That's her function, is to be ditz blonde who grows a conscience, who learns, you know. In which makes her a little miscast because she's a little old for it and a little smarter than the character requires, I think. But she plays it well, you know.
Well, put Katie Holmes in it and make me change myself.
Yeah, yeah, oh, of course, you know.
I think you have to have some maturity to pull it off.
Yeah, I wouldn't fight that. I think she's still a little too old for it. She's very mid-30s, I think.
Here's the sex.
You know?
But if you're looking at contemporary marketing, and there's that whole Overstock.com, and there's the chick who's probably 40 to 45. I think she's Australian.
Everybody's all hot for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
The Overstock.com ads.
Where she's talking about the big
it's
O.
It's all about the O.
Oh, I don't know.
And I think this is reminiscent of that, or this might actually be like sort of a precursor, almost prescient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, since I think Huckabee...
I love that. It's not quality, it's quantity.
Since Huckabees is clearly meant to be a target,
uh-huh.
I think you have to look at their, I'm sorry, target audience and
uh-huh.
and think that it is more middle-aged, and I think she is actually a pretty good spokesperson for that, because, you know, 20-somethings don't go to Target. 30-somethings go to Target, and 30-somethings and above.
Really?
I think so.
You think 20-somethings go to Walmart?
No, I don't think 20-somethings shop for groceries.
Well, they have to eat.
That's what restaurants are for.
I don't know. I think...
There it is.
I don't know. I think she reads as a little older than Jude Law does in this movie, and I'm not sure that that's...
I think it's actually fairly smart casting, because what she's selling is not for the young. It's for people who want to feel like they're still young.
Yes.
And in that way, I think she's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Where would we start?
I mean, Target markets, for instance, that whole Michael Graves, the whole... edgy design thing.
Hoffman's brilliant there.
I must have missed it.
It's all good.
I was looking at you.
Oh, I knew you were.
Here we go. There's something funny about beating people.
Yep.
But it's rocks later, isn't it?
So why is this funny when Adam Sandler isn't to you?
I wish I knew.
Because I think that's relevant.
I agree, that's a great question.
Well, why is this action of pounding someone in the face funny and not Sandler?
Yeah.
This is, of course, assuming you do not find Adam Sandler funny.
Well, no one should. Who's listening to this? Anyone should. It's about tone. You know, Sandler in Punch Drunk Love is different than Sandler in anything else. You know, it's all about
but
tone.
But the slapstick is. I don't think we find slapstick funny in the traditional sense that somebody gets a golf club in the balls.
The ball, his groin. It works on so many levels.
Thank you, Homer.
And yet we find. I mean, Pamela laughed out loud when she started beating people with a balloon ball.
It's pretty funny. It's the sound effect too. It's a funny sound effect. Yeah. See, that's just a funny sound.
And they're enjoying it.
Because we all know that sound.
Funny.
We all remember being 7 years old and bouncing those balls. It's like, no, it's a great sound. Yeah. Because you know they're not getting hurt. Because you got hit in the face with that when you were a kid too, and mm-hmm. you were fine. Yeah.
I think John Bryan's score works better in this movie than maybe anything except for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Huh.
I think his movie, he works very well in Paul Thomas Anderson movies, but I think the circusy elements of his music are a little too much for...
Magnolia?
Yeah.
Really?
No, I love the music in Magnolia, but I think it's a better fit here, and I think it's a better fit with Eternal Sunshine. I think it's even a better fit here.
Yeah, it is a circus. It's,
I mean, it's all kind of, for a minute or so.
All kind of, sure. It's all kind of spectacular in a fun way. See, there's filth.
Yeah. Nothing like a little stiletto in the ball.
That's right. But literally, it's like, this is it. This is it for filth. That's all I see. For me, she's just like a completely charmless Julie Delpy. Julie Delpy, who I'm in love with. This could be like her mom, and you don't want her to catch you making out with Julie Delpy. It's like, because she's a bitch. Right? Your mom's not going to be home, is she?
Before Sunset is also on our Netflix list.
Oh,
no. Have you? I lied. I DVR'd it. We've got it. I've not seen
it. You ever seen Sunrise, the first one?
No.
Oh, my. You have to see that first.
See, that's the question I was going to ask you.
No, you'd
be the guy.
Well, I say yeah.
Here's filth.
I say yeah.
He's smearing mud on.
Yeah, this is
that's
filth.
Filthy.
That's literal filth. And
of course, mud is a metaphor for poop.
Yeah.
Poop.
And poop, she's kind of touching herself in a French way, and I just, you know, I don't know.
I wish more people were French. Look how fake that is, though. There's something...
Yeah, and I'd buy it if she was doing it right, but she's not.
But I think it's on purpose, though.
Maybe. If it is, then it's toothless. What's the point if it's not going to be done right? I don't know. This might probably be my least favorite scene in the movie.
Well, and this is the sex scene, too, right? It devolves into the... Yes.
There we go.
Maybe there's your filth, but...
Yeah, that works.
But is the way it's shot, since it's de-eroticized, since it's, oh my god, if he moves just the wrong way, we're going to see his ass type of thing?
But he has skivvies on still.
No, go back inside.
Like, this is when I start loving Naomi Watson.
Speaking of de-eroticized.
Right. See, now she's starting to be a little crazy, and she's a lot more fun. I just
love the bonnet.
That's great, you know? That's perfect.
Look at those aviator sunglasses.
There's glass between us.
That is so not true. Wait, what does that even mean?
What's the problem? What's the core of it? Intimacy is combo.
She's so brave. I love Naomi Watts. I think she's so fun. When she's out there, she's incredible.
Too much. The people at the office are freaking out.
You could get free, Brad, but you think you have to be Superman in control. And that means you are the source instead of part of the infinite. And that means...
Steve. Yeah, no, she's so great.
You hired the detective.
You don't have to listen to every word they say.
How am I supposed to know which part to listen to?
I'll tell you.
Her bonnet.
In her Oreo teeth.
I assume that is in somebody's poem somewhere. Her Oreo teeth.
It's Joyce Carol Oates, I think.
If we could add a syllable, it would be part of a haiku, which Mike is quite adept at.
I'm good at haiku. I did a whole...
I'm good at haiku.
Uh-huh.
First or last line.
Is she anybody? That actress? I mean, of course, existentially she is, but, you know, is that someone I'm supposed to know?
Yeah.
She looks familiar.
I do not know.
They want me back in a bikini?
Dawn, please.
Wake up, pretty girl. The joke's on you. The joke is on you.
Feminists ruining everything.
I'm sick of this. I'm sick of you all
Yay! I love when she cracks up. That's fun.
We didn't answer your question, I think, in part because neither of us knows.
Oh, the actress? Yeah, I did, probably nobody. It's just have that look for a moment.
On the DVD, there are 22 deleted / extended scenes. That's frightening.
That's, yeah, it's a lot.
That's the dress for Pretty Woman. Okay, not that. The brown polka dot.
Honey, the smoke is hurting you and it's hurting Huckabee.
This is my spell.
And you won't speak it. The benefit is yourself. That is not Huckabee.
I am still Huckabee.
Do you think the, and this is really a minor point, do you think... Not entitling it, I love Huckabees, but I heart Huckabees, is a sign of the willful nature of the picture itself, that there's, that it's almost a, an indication, like, you ought to have some sense that if you come and actually see this, you're not going to like what you see, or that it's, that this is going to be weird.
Oh, just in terms of the title alone, like, that it's, they're using an icon, basically, instead of a word. Much like the backward seven in seven for the V or whatever the hell. I don't know. Probably, but...
I mean, you know in the reviews. You saw the reviews where it was I parentheses H-E-A-R-T and parentheses.
Yeah, well, if they didn't have the icon in there.
But it's almost like I'm being difficult.
Sure. Well, it's like Prince, you know. It's the same thing when he changed his name to an...
Speaking of Prince, there's very purple.
Hey.
Is that more indigo? Indigo?
Oh.
Indigo.
Could be indigo.
Ginger's best friend, indigo.
Hi, indigo.
She's worn out from swallowing all my salt off my wrist.
I was going to ask you if you've been to the gym, because she's licking you like you were.
No, I should have gone to the damn gym today. I meant
to. It wasn't a criticism.
No, but it is in my head. I meant to go.
I assumed you were salty.
Nope, I'm going tomorrow morning. I'm set.
The eyebrows in this movie are really rather remarkable. Everyone's eyebrows are remarkable. Jude's, Naomi's.
Well, Jude's are good because they're cartoony eyebrows in this one. He's working them like crazy in a great way, you know. It makes him look extra peppy all the time. He's always
high. For a model, Naomi's are very... Like, normally you'd have a line for a woman's eyebrows for somebody who's a national spokesmodel, but she's got normal eyebrows.
Yeah, they look real.
It's like he's peeing.
It is. Hey-oh!
I'm spraying you with my pee!
Because that's what you want. You want your fireman to be fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you. See, now there's something just enormously touching about that. It's like Mahoney in the bathtub in Say Anything. It's just like, oh.
Mm-hmm. So you're actually, that suggests an investment in the character, though.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Which I think is good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, no, no.
The woods are hopeless. Don't waste your time. They will be destroyed. So will the marsh. It is a losing game mankind has played for more than a century.
She is pretty funny in this scene, I gotta admit. That kind of world weary, brown cigarette smoking, beret wearing bullshit.
The affectlessness of reading it without comprehending.
The ennui is killing me. Yeah.
You told me you were done with this stupid method.
Why can't I do it?
Because it is a fantasy. Do you want to lead a fake life?
So
you can't.
Why not?
Because they are completely different, and theirs is a lie. For the last time, forget the tree fantasy. And as for Brad, you must do to him for real what he did to you. And...
Just me. First my family, and now you guys.
My teacher too, Rob. And she's still your teacher, Tom.
No, it's all different now. I thought we were platonic trio, not some sick sex dance. You said that was bullshit.
Learn from this, Tommy.
Look at her knees. Sweet. Her knees are like red because...
Yeah, you do the math. Yeah.
But I like that there's attention to detail that her D's would be
her
red.
Her D's are raw from being on that log. Uh-huh.
Sorry, this just happened. I've never done anything.
Could you ever imagine that, Max Fisher would end up being marginally manly?
No, and that's why it probably isn't Max Fisher, because Max is just going to always kind of be neutrally sexless, you know, and, at least in my head. I reject the unnameable. His dialogue is the best in this movie. He has all the best lines.
Continuity error there. And the reaction, his reaction, there's a cut.
You like my new office? Let's start with the method.
We'd like to discuss. Okay, where are you going?
Okay,
where are you going?
I'm joking. Guys, but seriously, I want to quit.
Now, what was the point of that, exactly? I mean, was that just throwaway goofy, or...
No, you can't. Paragraph 201. Neither client nor detective may terminate case prior to resolution as defined by paragraph 314, subclause D, which states...
That's not binding.
Oh, it's binding.
I'll find a lawyer.
Oh, or maybe even go to the FBI. How about that?
Go ahead.
Oh, I will. I'm not kidding.
No, Brad, this is how it works. You go to the police, you tell them that you went to the existential detectives, they ask why, you say, for personal reasons, or...
Oh, you go to the existential detectives, except for personal reasons.
I adore, one thing I do love is that this movie just kind of assumes a world where we have existential detectives. And no question is ever made about it, and it's just, we accept it.
I think that's great. I think that its entire charm is that it's not, it's acceptance of everything. Mm-hmm. That it just... It's very matter of fact.
Absolutely. That's why it's really
hard to pull off.
Very hard to pull off, yeah.
The stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, it's part of the reason that I'm a big Coen Brothers fan. Because I do like that they just kind of assume things in their worlds, and you get on board or you don't. You know, it's like, in this world, this is how people talk.
Are you giving me the hi-hat?
Yeah, see? You know? Perfect.
Who is that guy?
John Polito.
Okay.
Hey, was that? I know we can't go back, but... No, I'm good. Thanks. That looked like Chris Farley for all the world in that family photograph.
God rest him. God rest the unfunny fat man.
Yeah, never got him.
Is he dead by then?
Yeah. He's been dead for almost a decade, I guess.
Chris Farley?
Yeah.
97-ish, maybe?
Let's look it up.
Let's do. Yeah, that book, you know, it's pulled me out with so many arguments.
Oh, my God. Yes.
God, love it.
97.
Hey,
good call.
Thank you.
I said almost 10 years. You were more specific.
I was...
I would not have said it was before we met.
I keep him. I'm a pretty good older brother. He wishes you would listen to him more.
What do you think he's been best in?
Gecko?
Jude Law? I want to say Gattaca. But I probably at the end of the day I have to go with Talented Mr. Ripley. Where I think
the
he's perfect.
For me.
I did not like
the Talented Mr. Ripley. So, and I automatically sort of discount movies I don't like, but. Mm. I actually liked him best, I think, in Existenz. I like him in Gattaca.
Yeah, Existenz, I never remember the people in it, which I almost never do in Cronenberg movies anyway. So I think he was terrific. I love that movie. I think the movie is really fun, but...
It was very depressing for me, actually.
Yeah, that's why it's fun, I think.
I'm usually invigorated by Cronenberg. Uh-huh. Existenz is an experience that's very hard for me.
Mm.
Why is that? Because it's like the McDonald's cookies box where there's all the group of them and Ronald McDonald's in the middle holding a box of McDonald's cookies and, you know, there's a group of them in the middle of that. It's a cycle of detachment from reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, essentially the movie,
you only find out at the very end. The movie is sort of two levels removed from reality, and there are signs of that throughout, like the artificiality of the CGI. You only find later that you're sort of in the middle of this and that there's reality beyond
sure, right.
what you're seeing, and it's just sort of this immersion in artificiality that's depressing because I think it speaks to reality, which is that people immerse themselves in television, movies, video games,
mm-hmm.
and
oh, absolutely.
They stop living in the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it's distressing for me. It was a punch in the gut when I first saw it.
Okay. All right. That's more fair.
And I love Cronenberg, but in an academic way, and this was a more visceral experience for me, and it's strange to say that Cronenberg is academic rather than visceral, but...
Mm-hmm. No, it's absolutely...
I mean, even something,
it's a very Egoyan movie.
Yes, it is. You know? Even something like The Brood is very academic. In that you have to kind of figure out why those little kids are creepy. It's because they're not really little kids. Have you seen The Brood?
I did when I was 12 or something.
It is the creepiest fucking movie.
I just remember a little blonde girl and yeah.
Oh yeah, because she's got the size of adults or the size of children, and yet they've got these faces that are not quite children, not quite adult. They're
mm-hmm. I remember being kind of horrified by it. Ugh.
It's a very very. It's an excellent movie, I think, and I've always sort of downplayed early Cronenberg. Yes. I've always sort of downplayed early Cronenberg up through Videodrome.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first one that I said, okay, I there's something very, very powerful about this.
I thought Scanners was enormous fun. I loved Scanners.
I'm not crazy about Scanners. It's amazing. We're watching a David O. Russell movie. We're talking about David Cronenberg.
Yeah. It's all tied together, which is kind of the theme of this movie.
Greg, you want to hear something funny? Suddenly, cups are blown out in the Sunbelt franchise. Now, how's that for super weird? I mean, that's a good thing to bring to the table today, right? And you watch just what the doctor wrote about, right?
This is, you talk about
let's go, dude.
Naomi Watts kind of going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think a theme here is kind of the ripping away of artifice.
Yeah.
Because it happens to Jude here also.
Sure, yeah. It's about the madness behind blandness, which is kind of the Tom Cruise situation right now. It's like, nope, everyone's crazy in their own way, and you know, it comes out eventually in odd forms sometimes.
I wrote about when I first saw I Heart Huckabees. I wrote about a paragraph about it and never got any farther. And so I'm really glad we're talking about it because
really.
This is one of the reasons I'm excited about this is because it's something I haven't written about, and I'm glad to be able to do it so I can now say I don't have to write about it. But I'm also enjoying talking about it. I think it's.
I'm enjoying watching
you're
it again.
We're talking about it, though.
We are, I think, in.
We're talking around it, but including it. Oh, see, that's Biddle. Yeah. The guy by the way, is one of the passengers in United 93.
I think we're talking about its themes if we're not talking about the movie itself. I mean, I think Mike's point that he's trying to pay attention to it is, I think we're all trying to do that, but it's been a long time since we've seen Jason Schwartzman, hasn't it? The movie is very, it's kind of like Magnolia in that it's not afraid to go a long period of time without showing you a certain character.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a broad enough canvas that it doesn't need to. It's yeah, we got plenty.
Well,
it
also trusts the audience to know that you're not going to forget who this guy is.
Right.
And there are a lot of and of course you say, well, that's obvious. You know, there are only certain.
But that's not really
rare.
True.
It's pretty rare.
It's very rare that you get more than four focal people in characters in a Hollywood movie. It doesn't happen a lot. You get a lot of kind of peripheral ones, but
I love all the people riding bikes in Los Angeles.
Yeah, isn't that great. It's a nice touch.
And including in their full regalia, the firefighter regalia.
This movie's just, it's chock full of nice touches. I'm not sure if
and yet you don't like
anything.
It. I don't think you like
not,
it.
I'm not saying I don't. I'm
he
just...
He never said he didn't like it.
No, but
I've never said that.
I don't. I know you didn't.
Yeah.
But I don't think you do like it.
I don't...
Mr. Pronouncements over here.
Yeah, seriously. Get off my ass, dude. No, I'm kidding. It's just, it's again, it's more academic for me, and I don't latch on to academia that much. I don't. Ideas are interesting to me, but they stop there as far as you know, an esoteric kind of, you know, slapstick is an odd, interesting bird, but it doesn't make me like it so much. I'm like, well, that's
so fundamentally,
you're that's not fascinating.
You're not interested in the bizarreness of the hybrid, which is that esoteric slapstick.
It's one of those things. It's like, I'm fine. I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I enjoyed it, but I don't connect to it. And that's just a personal thing, you know. I mean, I find myself at least these days connecting more with relatable things, feelings. And there's nothing really relatable for me in this. It's all kind of, you know, cool.
Do you like Punch Drunk Love?
No, I really don't like Punch Drunk Love.
Because this is, I think, in tone, that's the movie that this most reminds me of in some ways.
Uh-huh.
I like this a lot better, but.
That's hilarious.
It's interesting that you call this academic, in the sense that I would think of Egoyan movies as academic, and this is being silly.
Yeah, but it's silly academia. It's you know, it's about the meaninglessness or the meaning or whatever. But it's about kind of it's about ideas that we can't put our finger on. It's all figurative. It's all kind of speculative. And
I never noticed that gasoline. I didn't notice the gasoline can. They're lying there, and there's a can of gasoline right next to them. Of course, that's because it's probably an arson, right?
Sure.
The framing of that shot is very interesting to me. I'm not sure why the Schwartzman with the grass in front of him. It seems almost like the first, like it's the only clarity. That's the first real clear composition, like the almost where there's a singular point of focus.
Okay.
And that's not true, but it feels like there's a clarity there for him right there. There's something here where this is the first time voyeurism obviously is there throughout, but this is the first time where anybody has objected to the voyeurism.
Okay. All right.
You know, the idea that, of course, people have been watching everybody throughout the movie, but that's the only time.
You watch me when I go to the bathroom? Everywhere.
But that's the first time that somebody says no.
And now.
No, that's not true. Because Naomi Watts says, at least in some of the fantasies, stop looking at me. Don't look at me.
But that's in Jason Schwartzman's fantasies.
Yeah.
As opposed to in real life.
Doesn't she do that when she's breaking down with that actress who looked familiar, though? Doesn't she say the same thing? Don't look at me, don't look at me? And that's
no, because then she's saying, I'm pretty, look at me, I'm pretty.
Right.
Yes. No.
Come on, you guys work together, don't you?
No, we don't work together at all.
Really? It's not like a secret deal where she picks up what you leave off and then come back to you?
Believe me, there is no secret deal.
Well, there should be, because that's the way it works. You're too dark and you're not dark enough. You three were close, right? Maybe too close. And then it went sour and it propelled you into one extreme and you into another extreme. So voila! Two overlapping cracks.
I would have hated to have been the Jason Schwartzman beard person.
Oh, continuity man?
Yeah.
For the beard? Yeah. Yeah, I always wonder how Don Johnson got away with that in Miami.
I wonder how
it's like, how on earth? Because I would kill for that, just to keep that kind of
or
one
the
day.
Or the person who just lost and deals with those things.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, they're getting money to do that. If they can't get that right, get back your salary. Give it to someone who can do it. This movie has a really nice Southern California feel to it in a very specific way. You know, I mean, every movie is made in Southern California,
but it's kind of a natural. It's kind of like a naturalistic LA story where it's very an LA story. It was very
it drew attention to itself on purpose. Excuse and here it's just sort of, it takes it, it's kind of like it's, we were talking about earlier with its something or other. It takes it for granted. It makes an assumption about, you know, that this is Southern California, this is the way things are. It pays attention to the details, but doesn't draw attention to them.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I think it probably also makes it more palatable to a wider audience in that, oh, well, everyone knows everybody in Southern California is a fruitcake, so you get that going for you right there.
I'm going to disagree with you that the movie thinks it's more, that it's got more going on than it does. I think it's, I think it recognizes itself as fairly frivolous.
Yeah, yeah. But it's
I think it's pretty rich.
It's got enough depth in it to make you realize it's not all that deep, I think, is the best way I can describe it. You know, it's,
but I don't think it takes its
existential dilemmas a little bit seriously. In a way, I don't think it needs to, but...
You love me?
I think so.
With the bonnet? It's over, Brad. I had a fire and almost died. He came... He almost died because he cares about the same thing.
Look at Mark's expression here. Is that earnestness, that I feel sorry for you look?
Yeah.
He's giving
you
both.
I've taken your hot woman and...
And there's nothing you can do because what are you going to
fight? But it's not glowing. He's not glowing.
Oh, exactly. No, he's lovely. He's perfect.
And he's always been a better actor than he's been given credit for.
And that's the greatest question in the world. Do you love me? With the bonnet.
With the bonnet. No, Wahlberg's great. This is my favorite thing Wahlberg's ever done, bar none. I love him in Boogie Nights, but this is my favorite thing.
Brad, I thought about chopping your head off with a machete, man. I thought about hacking you up with an axe and I'll put a smash in your face and you're a baseball bat.
You liar.
This is a win for us. Come on, Mary Jane.
A Dexie Court Mall in my grandfather's forest is not exactly a win. And they've already started surveying to start construction.
Is that leadership by giving them the word?
Are we going up or what?
All you did was make Huckabee's look good. That's all you did.
Albert, how can you be so calm? Did you hear what Brad did to us?
Don't worry, I'm dealing with it.
Stick with me and Shania, and you'll see this is a win for us.
Shania doesn't give a shit.
Oh,
Shania. See, that's a great line, too.
We saved the moment. Fuck him.
So you sold out the woods.
Is that Tippy said fuck him?
Yes.
I saved half the trees. Did I sell out the woods? I don't know. I tried to do some good. You know, I saved half of them. Brad, I tortured jet skis.
He's like Oscar Schindler.
I could have done more. Did you know there was a Birds 2?
Yes, actually, I did.
Oh, is it a direct-to-video thing?
Who is that? You or me?
The Birds 2, Land's End, 1994.
That's so funny.
So she was 70 when she made this, so she has had serious plastic surgery.
Sure, you know, well, God love her. If I had the money for plastic surgery, maybe, I don't know, you know, it's maybe I would.
I was a little confused when you called and said you'd had your ears lowered.
Oh.
I know that, but, you know, I was groggy, so.
Sure, it's okay. Yeah.
I was like, what's wrong with his ears?
What did he do? Well, his ears were nice. Yeah.
Shania!
I forgot she cameoed in this.
Absolutely.
Where's Jessica Lange when you need her? Man.
The Mars rises 5 degrees and the entire food chain is degraded. Starting with the clock.
Boy, it's weird how no one can play themselves.
I eat
tofu tuna.
With the mayo, and you liked it.
I used to run the office space.
She knew my name.
So what if she knew my name?
I'm joking, man. Come on. Yeah, okay. I'm caught up in that shit.
So am I. That's how I bought a new account.
Albert, we owe you an apology. We should have stayed with you.
Thanks, Angela. See you at the meeting on Tuesday. We're going to stop those bulldozers.
I don't even know who I am.
The Birds was Tippi's first movie.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yep.
How was she found, I wonder? Schwab's? They were all found at Schwab's.
Right? Oh, I just... See, now there's just no cuter sight than Wahlberg with his little fire boots and his red ball. It's adorable. Oh.
Hurt my feelings. Sorry. But you had to do it anyway, didn't you? She's a very powerful person, and I have been with a lot of women.
Obviously.
So? Is that where you get off the ride?
Hell no.
I didn't think so. Looks like you saw some truth.
Looks like you saw some truth.
Well, the interconnection definitely.
See, now I have a feeling these two are having a blast. It reads like they're having so much fun doing this, you know? You don't get that look in Mark Wahlberg's eyes in most movies, you know?
What, not in the Italian Job?
You know, it's so fun to watch actors who know that they're in something that's not shit, you know? It's inspiring to watch that. It's like, oh, look how relieved they are to be in something that doesn't suck.
I love his slouch. Yeah. Both of their slouches, actually.
That's a nice shot from Russell. It's a really nice shot.
I was thinking about chaining myself to a bulldozer. Do you want to come?
What time?
1:30.
Sounds good. Should I bring my own shoes?
We always do.
I thought that went on longer, but...
See, that's a movie of amazing moments, I think.
But they don't add up to much, in your opinion.
Oh, for the love of God. See what you're doing there?
I'm asking you.
It's fine. I think it's just fine. At the end of the day, it's fine.
That's something that could be exerted in an ad for the movie. A movie of wonderful moments. Or something
it's
like
fine.
That.
That should be in the ad. But
my impression is that you are not enamored of it. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm not being argumentative. I'm just asking you. I'm asking you for clarification.
Right. I think it's just fine. I don't think there's a lot there. I think it's pleasant. I wish that all Hollywood comedies were like it. You know, where they were all just kind of. You know, unique and pleasant, and I'm glad I spent my hour and 40 minutes there. You know, it's
hour 42.
Dandy. Okay, it's longer than I thought.
It felt like an hour
and
40.
It felt like forever. No, it's just, it's got personality, you know, which is nice, and which you can't underrate.
I think that's what, I agree with you that it doesn't add up to much, that there's not much there, but I think what I reacted to the first time I saw it, and it's still the second time I've watched it now, is that it's so idiosyncratic that this is a movie that could only have been made by this group of people. Mm-hmm. That the person who wrote it, the person who directed it, the people who acted in it, it's unique.
Yeah.
And that unlike, say, a typical Hollywood comedy, it is a product of their collaboration, and it could not exist, and I guess it's sort of ironic that its existence is only because of those particular people, and I love things that are idiosyncratic, even if I don't like them.
Well, okay, that explains a lot. Yes, no, I think it's just delightful.
Besides being unique and idiosyncratic, it is the fact that it is delightful and that it the fact, almost the fact that it doesn't add up to much is one of its charms, that it's...
Mm-hmm. I'll grant you that. I think the movie, I don't know, I get the idea that Russell thinks he's saying deeper things than maybe he is. I get a bit of a smarty pants attitude from it. A bit of a, you know, and just there's in a way. Tilde. Hey, there you go. There is a Tilde.
Acuna.
Acuna. That's right. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
That was yesterday.
It's, yeah, it was. But I'm still saying it, you know, because I'm still burping up the Corona, basically. I don't know.
It's Jamie. Jaime Trujillo.
Jaime Trujillo?
Trujillo is the chef.
There's a lot of good names there. Dara Van Essien. That's a good one.
John Silk is probably more of a porn name than it ought to be. What about Kaiser Clark? Good Krauts.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's an assistant to Naomi
that
Watts.
That is a good... I like QWERTY,
what about
that's a wonderful...
What about Chamonix Bosch?
Man, I feel like a woman. It's pretty clever.
I did not realize that Shania Twain was that much of a transsexual.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
You guys obviously don't watch enough TV. That song was used in a truck ad.
Oh, yes, I remember that. That was a terrible ad.
Yes, it was.
I watch West Wing. That's it. That's all I watch. Yeah. So two more weeks, I won't watch. And
have you watched Lantana, since Lantana is thanked in the credits?
Lantana?
Which is...
Mudez is awesome.
No, what is that? I've heard the title. I don't know.
It is Australian guy who was...
BabeRuth.com. What was up with that?
Shit. Anthony Appiah.
Right. Yeah, about like 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe?
More like 5 years ago. 5 years ago.
Give me the book.
I'll give you the movie, probably.
Oh, well, I'm closer actually. Let's see.
Was it just before we got married?
Very bad time.
One over.
Thank you.
It's a good movie. How am I out myself?
Lantana, why don't I find a date?
So, there ends our commentary.
Yeah, not sure what you gleaned, but it's a fun flick.
So, say goodnight.
2002, goodnight.